Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. You know, a lot of folks are concerned about vaccinations. We get a lot of calls about that at various times whenever I do a broadcast on that subject. And a lot of folks are just concerned about the information that they're receiving about vaccinations. It's not so much that they are necessarily anti-vaccine. They just feel that they are not being told all the information that they need in order to make an informed decision. Well, there's a new movie or a film that's coming out, a documentary, I should put it that way. And there's actually a tour that they're on across the United States. And that tour is coming right here to Greenville, South Carolina. And I wanted to do a broadcast then to talk about this subject and bring a couple folks into the conversation as well as we go forward. But I think the best place for us to start is, let me go ahead and play the trailer for the documentary Vaxxed. It's V-A-X-X-E-D, Vaxxed. And then after we hear this, then we'll go ahead and go from there with a little bit more information about the tour coming here to Greenville.
My phone rings, and it's Dr. William Thompson.
You and I don't know each other very well. You have a son with autism, and I have great shame now.
There's a whistleblower from the CDC who's going to come out and say that the CDC had committed fraud on the MMR study and that they knew that vaccines were actually causing autism.
My oldest son, Ian, was walking and running. After the vaccine, he was no longer able to do that.
So I called a clinic and I said, I think my child's had adverse reaction to those shots.
And then came the head bang. Constant banging against anything that he could find.
Right now, I'm sitting in a very pretty position in terms of providing you a lot of information.
The first thing that Thompson did was to plot a graph. Now, if there's no link between early MMR and autism, those two lines should track together. Now, they do track together until they get to 15 months. Then they separate, and they continue to separate thereafter. And they sliced and diced the data in an effort to get rid of that effect.
The relative risk of receiving an autism diagnosis was astronomical.
Wow. The CDC had known all along there was this MMR autism risk.
In CDC's judgment, the best public policy is to continue vaccination unchanged.
You who run our health agencies in this country, you have an obligation to make sure that these studies are complete, thorough, so that we have all the facts.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did. But we did.
Omission of crucial data, destruction of documents, misleading the Congress, grievous harm to innocent children.
Everything I've been telling my patients for the last 10 years has been based on a lie and a cover-up.
Parents should be able to count on federal agencies to tell them the truth.
In 1978, the prevalence of autism was about 1 in 15,000 children.
If we assume that things are going to continue as they have, we can predict that by 2032, 80% of the boys born will end up on the autism spectrum. Half the children, 80% of the boys.
It's a vast number of children who are being diagnosed with autism every day.
This is going to be a complete catastrophe if we just let it happen.
Well, there you have it. That's the trailer for the documentary entitled Vaxxed. Again, it's spelled V A XXED, and the subtitle for it is From Cover Up to Catastrophe. And underneath a banner that I saw for that, it says, at today's rate, by 2032, one in every two children will be autistic. And there's a free event coming here in Greenville. It's going to be held over at the Camelot Theater, which is over there on Antrim Drive in Greenville. And this is going to be on Tuesday, October 11th, 2016, of course. And they're going to be showing a free screening of the documentary Vaxxed. That's from 7 to 9 p.m. And there's also going to be some meet and greet that goes on before that with some of the Vaxxed team, I guess the folks that put the documentary together and others that are involved in promoting the documentary as well. And so that takes place a little bit earlier in the day. I'll give you the websites here in just a minute where you can get some information. But first, let me go ahead and bring Jennifer Black into the conversation today. She's a representative for Informed Parents of the Upstate. And I'll let her explain exactly what that group is. But she also is a small business owner, a wife and mother of two young children. Jennifer, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, Jennifer, let's talk a little bit about your background first, or you know how you got involved with this group. And I guess maybe even before that, a good place to start is to give us a little bit of an idea of who Informed Parents of the Upstate are.
Well, Informed Parents of the Upstate we're made up of medical providers, parents of vaccine-injured children, and folks that are actually in the trenches dealing with autism every day, and the growing number of folks that have autism and within the school systems, within the churches, and at new businesses that are coming up as a response to the autism epidemic.
Now, this autism epidemic that you're speaking about, has the upstate itself been pretty typical comparatively with the rest of the nation on the types of numbers that are being seen with the increase in autism?
Yes. Well, when every 2 years the CDC comes out with their new numbers, and what they get those numbers from are roughly 11 to 14 different states without the country that have monitoring sites. And they could be Utah, they're in Georgia, they're all over. I do not think South Carolina has a monitoring site, but basically that they take the culmination of all those states and come up with an average. Just in spring of this year, it said 1 in 68. Now, of course, those are for children that were born in 2004. So that is a long time from now.
Yes, right.
And so we're going to continue to see those numbers. But, you know, that's coming from 1980s of 1 in 10,000, Kevin. So there's quite the disconnect with prevalence from the 1980s to now.
Now, is Informed Parents of the Upstate, are they involved in bringing this documentary here to Greenville?
Yes. So, as you had mentioned, there is a tour that is going across the country. They've been to all through the West Coast, down into the South, and they're hitting the East Coast now. And we are, I guess, captains for the Greenville. And so we wanted them to come here. We're happy that they're coming here. They were in Myrtle Beach, a few days ago, and they're coming their way through here before they hit Atlanta to the CDC rally, which is happening the next couple of days after they had leave here. So showing the film is not free. We did we got a lot of sponsors, a lot of people that are involved in this and want to help Greenville see this documentary for free and remove those, any type of, issues with actually getting to the screening. So we wanted to make this a free event. This is the second time Greenville has seen this movie. In August, there was two screenings, that brought in about 300 people. And this time we're expecting a lot more. This is the effort has been a lot greater this time. Mm-hmm. And because now we have a question and answer ability to have a question and answer situation with the producers of Vaxxin, we also invited Alan Phillips, which is an attorney in Asheville that does that works with vaccine rights. So it's going to be quite the informational session. So I definitely encourage people to have an open mind, come to the screening, see what this movie is about. It's very much really just about government, you know, just like as you said, the government, we depend on the government to provide us unbiased information, specifically the CDC. And the revelations from Dr. Thompson, and this, he's not the only one, but the revelations from the focus with Dr. Thompson is that he's saying we did not provide that. Mm-hmm. We changed the information post hoc because we did not like to see the results. Mm-hmm. We did not like what we saw, which is an increased rate of autism, isolated autism, as well as autism in African American boys if they receive the MMR vaccine before 36 months.
Mm-hmm. And that is fact now at this point, right? A lot of people just dismiss this and say, oh, wait a second, a lot of conspiracy theory here. There's no actual proof that with the vaccination, a connection between autism, the experts, quote unquote, have told us that that's the case. But this is a fact that the numbers were fudged. When the numbers showed that among African-American babies that that had these vaccinations, that the increase in autism and the connection between the vaccination was made, and it was purposely not revealed in the reporting, right? That's a fact.
Yes, that is a fact. That is a fact.
And so that's just horrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm really saddened by, I'm not sure, it feels like it's more important to keep a public health program going as opposed to addressing the issues with the program and saving our children and trying to produce safe vaccines. My opinion is that they don't have another option right now, so they're just pushing forward with the way it is now because they don't have a backup plan. And so they would rather push forward with a public health measure that actually is not, you know, that's showing cracks in it as opposed to dealing with the issue. And unfortunately, I mean, this is a 2004 study. We're now, you know, 12 years past that, and
right.
We've lost 12 years of knowledge, of science, of furthering because they refuse to look at the issue.
A lot of people don't know that the pharmaceutical companies that make the vaccines, they're given impunity from any prosecution or anything afterwards, right?
That is correct. Injury is real, and they recognize that in 1986. In 1986, they set up the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and that was put into place two-part. It relieved liability from the manufacturers that produce these vaccines. And then second part, it gave an avenue to folks that had injury, and they knew that there was a lot of injuries, so they set up where now you can go to court and plead the case to get compensation. Well, to be honest with you, 2 out of 3 cases are denied.
Mm-hmm. Very hard to prove.
So,
how do you prove it?
You know, $3 billion has been paid out already since that program came into place. Vaccine injury is very, very real.
I would think it's very difficult to prove, though. You know, somebody trying to do it on their own to go before this court and to say, you know, my child was fine before the MMR vaccination, which, by the way, from what I have read about it, that they said that, you know, all you need is one of these for it's good for life. And then they were discovering that it wasn't working. And so now they recommend a second MMR vaccination as well. But anyways, so they get this vaccination and then immediately you start seeing problems afterwards, you know, related to the immune system and so forth. And then you go and say, hey, you know, my child was fine this day, not fine after the vaccination. Now they just say, well, it could be from a number of things. You know, how do you prove that?
Well, and they're also denying parents knowing their children. They're going back to parents and saying, well, they were going to be autistic anyways. That started at birth. You just didn't recognize it
mm-hmm.
until now. And that's really, I think, one of the biggest points that Del Bigtree makes in the movie that really hits home for me is that, you know, as a parent, you, especially the first, you are very aware of everything that's happening with your children. And, you know, they have a sniffle, they have a cough. You are on it. I mean, you're taking them to the doctor. You are making sure that you know everything about them. And to tell a parent that they didn't recognize an yeah. issue with their child until just, you know, coincidentally after this vaccine is, it just doesn't make any sense. And everything that they're saying is exactly the opposite of what actually people are experiencing. And the great thing about this tour is that people will see visually over 3,000 signatures on this bus of injury.
Hmm.
And so that is, and it's very, it's, the denial cannot be anymore. You know, you just cannot deny it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the biggest deal here is, again, you know, we have to be able to rely on science. You know, science needs to be unbiased.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that to say that it is not that case. We're seeing one study here that, you know, was doctored specifically by a government agency. But, you know, for instance, Merck right now is facing lawsuits because they had lied, apparently, about their efficacy of the mumps portion of the MMR. And so nobody knows about that, but right now that there's a lawsuit against them for that reason. And, of course, Merck and a lot of these other manufacturers have been up against lawsuits. You know, a lot. I mean, they actually budget for paying out millions and billions of dollars within their, you know, within the pricing of their drugs. So it's just amazing to me to deny folks what's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
But
Jennifer, I've had Barbara Fisher on the broadcast before. You know, from
yes.
Do you align pretty closely with Barbara's views and the information that she posts there on the National Vaccine Information Center?
Yes, I mean she was paramount in the 1986 actually, you know, getting that, you know, move forward so that we can have a vaccine injury program. And so she was paramount in that.
Mm-hmm.
She's called for safe vaccines,
right.
And we can't. You know, in science, you know, the way science works is all of the information has to be put out there, and then we gain knowledge from it, and we do better. We define, you know, we do studies better. We learn from each other, so on and so forth. And if we're stonewalling that by not providing all the information, I think it's clear to me that what's happened over the last 12 years, I mean, thousands of kids, I mean, a million, you know, you'd play that trailer. She talked about that there was tons of, you know, obviously there's a vast, vast amount of kids being diagnosed with autism a day, a year. 1 million a year
wow.
are being diagnosed.
Something's
wrong. I
mean,
we have 33 million kids or 33 million people in the country right now that are autistic.
Hmm. Something is obviously wrong, you know, and figure, I mean, this should be a major effort by the medical community to try to get to the bottom of this. The reason why I mentioned the National Vaccine Information Center and Barbara Fisher's work there is when I had her on, we were talking about the immunization schedule. And I just couldn't believe, I don't have it readily here in my mind or before me, the amount of vaccinations that are now given to a child at a young age. Do you know
yes.
what that number is?
It's actually 49
40.
Up until age 6.
Wow!
So,
and so just the sheer volume.
You know, I'm in my upper 30s. I received 7. If you were born in, you know, if you were born in, up until 73, it was 3.
Hmm.
So I think, you know, and I just looking at the analysis, that has quickly gone up post the National Vaccine Injury Program had come into place. And starting in the early 90s, the vaccine numbers have went from, you know, 7 or so all the way up to 49 really quickly in the 90s.
Mm.
And so that is where you started seeing that autism prevalence going from 1 in 10,000 quickly to 1 in 50. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 1 in 150.
Yeah, when I was growing up. When I was growing up, it was unheard of. You know, I mean, I just can't even point to somebody out of all the sports teams I played on and people I hung around with. And, you know, just even then through my young married life and so forth, I just don't remember this being an issue that people were really discussing. And now to talk about the numbers that you're talking about and 49 different doses of of vaccines before the age of 6. Just the question that always comes into my mind is, have they done sufficient amount of research as to how those vaccines react with each other? I do a lot of visitation in the hospital, and sometimes the folks that I'm visiting with, it's remarkable how often that they're in the hospital because of the various medications that they're taking, that they didn't interact with each other very well, and it turns out to actually be a medically induced problem that they have because of the items that they're on. And one other story I've got to share is I was in the hospital visiting a young couple that had a young child that was experiencing some sort of problem, and they had the baby was born in the hospital. They took the baby home. A couple weeks later, they had to bring the baby back again. And they couldn't figure out exactly what the problem was. It wasn't to a critical point, but the baby was experiencing difficulty, and they were trying to figure out what the problem was. And in the middle of this, and they don't know what the issue is, and they're trying all sorts of tests. In the middle of it, a doctor came into the room with us, and they allowed me to stay in the room with them. And he asked if they could do a vaccination. And the young couple said, well, you know, whatever you think is best, doctor. And we interjected and we said, you know, can I just I don't mean to butt in, but would you allow me to ask a question of the doctor on your behalf here? And they said, okay. And we said, you know, what is this vaccination for? Because if the child's, you know, compromised health right now and we don't know what the issue is, just seems odd that, you know, is this critical that this gets introduced at this point? They said it was for, if I remember right, hepatitis C. And so I said, well, how does a person get that? And they said through either unprotected sex or dirty needles. I said, well, this child is weeks old. Is there any chance of the child getting that, you know, now that we would go ahead and introduce another substance when you don't know what's going on with the child currently? It just didn't make any sense. And I was like, does this guy get a commission? Or, you know, what is the deal here
right.
that they want to do?
You know,
it's crazy.
You were asking about my history. You know, I did the vaccine. You know, I remember I was pregnant and I thought, you know, well, what do you mean there's an issue with vaccines? It's just what you do. You know, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
But then I started looking at the schedule and I saw a hepatitis B within 24 hours of being born. And I said, what? I don't have, you know, like, how's my
B rather than C, right? Yeah.
Contract a sexually transmitted disease. I don't really understand that. And to be honest, I had chicken pox, right? So, when I saw the chicken pox vaccine, I said, are you kidding me? There's a vaccine against chicken pox?
Yeah.
That's what, to me, those two vaccines really did it for me. I just said, you know, I don't understand this. Maybe I understand some of the others and, you know, but those were just so far-fetched for me that I started questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I did vaccinate my son, but, you know, he had eczema. He had a lot of gut issues. He has speech delay. He has all these things. And so do I know that those are from vaccine? I don't know. But I do know that it was better for us to stop knowing that how he works, mm-hmm. how his system works. But I just, and items like this where I'm trying to, look at the science and gather that information, and then I'm finding that the science is not unbiased anymore. I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah.
And so
that's really the message, isn't it? The message is, don't write off all vaccinations, but really look at what is in the vaccine for one thing. That's a reasonable question. And then look at whether or not it is really necessary. Like you talk about chickenpox. I remember as a kid that if somebody in the neighborhood had chickenpox, the parents used to try to take you over to their house to they used to have chickenpox parties. And so they would take you over. So it's not, do I really need to take the risk of the vaccination to remove, something that is not going to, is not that harmful, and, all the questions of the vaccination. And then third, look at the schedule and say, now you're almost forced to do these things now if your child's in public education. So you have to weigh all that. But there's really the question, get informed about what's going on. Just don't take an attitude of, well, they're the professionals, they know, and, just go ahead and, put into my child's body whatever you want, because it's not that pure. The industry is not that pure that you could just take it the information that way. It's a business, first of all. Think about that, and just do your homework. Do a little bit of homework, because this is your child's body, right?
Yeah, that is correct. And this is not the one size fits all approach does not work. So you have to look at your own specific situation, and address your health care, how you provide health care to your children and to your family, and then go from there.
Yes.
To just turn around and just turn your child over, I think that's without all the information. And to be honest with you, doctors are not giving all the information. The information sheets that they're providing in those offices are not full informed consent.
Mm.
So I think, we have to, do our own research, you can go right to the CDC to do this. This is not a alternative health thing, that you're having to go to or anything. You can go right to those vaccine information sheets on the CDC website and look for that information.
Yeah, I was shocked.
And then ask.
I was shocked when I looked at what was actually in some of the vaccines. I couldn't believe it.
There's peanuts. There's peanut oil, there's aborted fetus cells, there's animal products in there, there's aluminum, there's lots of stuff on there that, you would actually turn around and look at your bread and say, I'm not going to eat that.
Exactly.
Why would I inject that into my child?
Right. So, 49 doses of different.
We have to apply that, that process all around.
Yes, yes.
So.
Exactly. Don't take that attitude of, we're the government, we're here to help you, I can just throw my trust there. They've got this down to a science now, and everything is just fine. You can't have that attitude with this, and I would say in a number of other areas, but certainly not with this, because this is something going directly into your body, and so in the body of your children. So this by that nature of this, it deserves much more attention than what it's getting. And I think this Vaxxed film is going to help people to do that. Just come and hear what they have to say. It's free. You've got nothing to lose. And it's a free event, and not only put on, by the folks there from the Vaxxed documentary, but by good people like our guest here today on the program, Jennifer Black, and the folks that are trying to just help people to think through this issue and to do their homework on this. And I think you would do well to do that. Jennifer is with the Informed Parents of the Upstate. Jennifer, how can people find out more about your organization there? And is there a Facebook page or some sort of website they can go to?
If you just look, if you get on Facebook and just type in Greenville Vax, that'll bring you to our public page that has all the events. You mentioned the screening. We also are, the meet and greet's happening the day before. The next day we are having another meet and greet, and then we're having a rally downtown.
Oh, great.
So at Grand Plaza at the Peace Center, and so we're really trying to invite folks to come out and let people know, let our legislators and our community leaders know in the state of South Carolina that, you know, when Big Farm comes through South Carolina and tries to further mandate these vaccines, that maybe we need to be we need to be looking at this, and we actually need to be protecting our South Carolina citizens from those efforts, and just, you know, just try to, you know, because it's happening across the country. Legislation is passing all through the state to further mandate and further, you know, push us into a corner, and without addressing the actual injury that's that's happening in a succinct manner. And so I'd like, you know, we're about that. We're trying to bring this attention and so that people know what's going on.
Well, that's great. And if I can make it over there, I will. And I'll bring a microphone with me, and maybe I can get a chance to talk to some of the other folks that'll be there as well. And see what we can do to help out on spreading the word. I think it's vitally important. And if California is any indication of the way this thing is going, listen, folks, you're going to be forced to pretty much, if you want to participate in just about anything like sports or school or different things, you are going to be told you will take these vaccinations. And if you don't, then you're not going to be able to participate in a number of different areas. And we want to head that off. We want to be able to have parents have a informed consent and to make decisions for themselves and after looking at all the facts.
Without coercion.
Exactly. Without being forced to do so. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it. And I'm going to give that information here again about this issue. Hey, Jennifer, you still there?
Yes.
Are you able to hang on a little bit? We got a call that came in, and I thought I would go ahead and take that call and maybe get you to respond to it as well. And sure. We may just maybe it's enough here that we go ahead and take it to the end of the top of the hour if that works with your schedule.
Okay.
Hold for 1 second. I may have to reiterate what the caller says. Sometimes both callers on the same line can't hear each other very well, so I'll reiterate what he says. But let me go to line two. Gene is up first. Gene, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, this might be a little bit tangential to what you're discussing with respect to today, but I'm one of those old-timers that took what she described as the three vaccines. It's actually against five different agents. And one of them was smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
And you do know why smallpox was discontinued, in that it is not an innocuous vaccine, that there was an epidemiologic aspect to this called risk-to-benefit ratio. When it became very, very clear that the benefit to the population was far, far less than what was the impact on the inoculated individual. That is, a good number of people were coming down with post-vaccinal encephalitis. And encephalitis is quite often a problem with a number of these vaccine agents because they're not innocuous. Unfortunately, we have, I don't mean to get political, but this is a reality. We have left-wing politicians out there like Hillary that keep telling us that if we don't agree to these vaccines, that we are anti-scientific, number one, and number two, these things are all safe. And as the young lady pointed out, they're not all safe.
Mm-hmm.
And diligence is very, very important. And we just don't have enough information on the background genetic responsiveness of our population or individuals in our population to these different agents. So, I mean, that's about all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody does bring up an objection to your movement, bring up the smallpox vaccine as a reason why that's been discontinued. It's because of the risk-benefit factor and the reality of post-vaccinal encephalitis.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. Really appreciate those comments. I'm going to throw it to Jennifer here in just a second to her comments on what Gene had to say. Let me just give the information again. Once again, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back from the break, we'll continue our conversation with Jennifer. Let me remind you, we're talking about the documentary Vaxxed. It's From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. It's a free documentary that's going to be aired in Greenville Tuesday, October 11th at the Camelot Theater. And so you could find out more by going to the Informed Parents of the Upstate's website on Facebook. Just type that Informed Parents of the Upstate. And if you type that in, it'll take you to their webpage and you can find out more information. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, we're back. Hey, you're welcome to call in to ask a couple of questions. Our guest today, Jennifer Black, who's a representative from the Informed Parents of the Upstate. She has graciously agreed to stay with us on the phone line here for a little bit longer to the top of the hour so that we can discuss this issue about vaccinations. We're talking about a documentary that's going to be shown right here in the Upstate of South Carolina, right here in Greenville, in fact, next Tuesday, October 11th, it's going to be shown for free at the Camelot Theater. And not just the film will be shown there, but there'll be a meet and greet with the Vaxxed team. That's the title of the film. It's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D, Vaxxed, from cover-up to catastrophe. And the Vaxxed team is going to be there with a bus. They have a bus. They're doing a big tour across the country. And there'll be folks there whose children have been affected negatively by vaccinations. And some of them even have autism as a result of that. So there'll be various folks there from the Upstate that will be representing different groups that will be on hand, as well as some of the folks that will be there from the Vax team itself. Now, the meet and greet takes place from 2:30 to 5 in the Camelot Theater, the parking lot. I'm sorry, I should say not in the theater, but the Camelot Theater parking lot. Let me put it that way. And then the actual showing of the film will be from 7 to 9 p.m., and that's a free screening of the film Vaxxed. And it also includes a live Q&A with the Vaxxed team as well. So you're going to be able to get a lot of information here about vaccinations. And again, this is not an anti-vaccine film. So don't you hear this and they say, oh, they're just anti-vaccine and, you know, they're flat earth society, blah, blah, blah. They just are not up with modern times and this type of thing. That is not what this is at all. This is all about information, about being properly informed about vaccinations. And that's a real issue. Sometimes people just accept it. It's done by the medical community. It's done by the government. Certainly it must be tested and so forth. Well, that's not necessarily the case, and I think you'll find that out. If you even go to the CDC website, as we've been talking about, you'll find that out for yourselves. But so anyways, there's the information about the film. I want to toss it back to Jennifer for her comments. Gene gives some information there when he called in. You're certainly welcome to call in as well. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That equates to 1-888-660-9535. Once again, that's 1-888-660-9535. I'd be happy to take your question or your comment about the subject that we're talking about here today. I want to just add one thing, and maybe Jennifer can add this to her comment as well. But what I've noticed in the circles that I run in related to the church and so forth on this issue is that pressure is being put upon the evangelical community to go ahead and get the vaccinations because they say, well, you're endangering the rest of the population. You know, so you got this herd mentality. And, you know, for you to say that you're not going to take the vaccination when everybody else is taking it, well, you're putting my children at risk because, you know, you don't want to be vaccinated, which to me doesn't make any sense at all. Because if your children were vaccinated and they're protected from the you know, catching whatever you're vaccinated against, how then does my child not being vaccinated endanger your child? It doesn't seem to make any sense to me. But Jennifer, I'm going to toss it back to you. Comments about Gene's comment.
Yeah,
and
I'm glad you brought up that point. I would reason to say 95% of the kindergartners in this country are fully vaccinated, and it could be more. I mean, in some states it's 100%, some is 99%, but let's say 95%, anywhere from 92% to 95%. Yet, we do have outbreaks. We've got measles. We've got mumps that have come through. Obviously, pertussis is not a herd immunity type vaccine, but that still happens. The problem here is that the outbreaks, like for instance, this year we've only had 54 cases of measles this year. Mm. Last year was 189. So I guess my point is that and along with that, there's not, 95% of the kindergartners are 100% vaccinated, meaning they have everything, they're up to date. But have you had your vaccination, Kevin?
Have you had your second
dose of measles, mumps, and rubella? Have you had your flu vaccine? Have you had your Tdap?
Nope.
Okay, I haven't either, and before kids, I didn't have them. Most adults are not. But do you see this, disease everywhere?
No.
You don't. You don't see it. I mean, like I said, 54 cases of measles.
Pretty low numbers.
Last year, 189. So this push to vaccinate is now the adult population, and that's part of a initiative by the Human Health Services called Healthy People 2020. So I'm trying to understand why there's this huge push to continue to vaccinate, even the adults and so on and so forth. When where's the disease?
Mm-hmm.
However, their strep happens. I mean, it is all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't hear about that, Kevin, because there's no vaccination for it.
Mm-hmm.
We only hear about measles because there's and we're scared because there's 54 people that have got cases of measles this year. You must get up-to-date vaccination. Oh, flu, it's 19% effective this year, but you better go ahead and get the vaccination anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so the connection doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
I really don't understand that. And so my whole point being is that while the kindergartners are up to the herd immunity number that they're looking for, which that's gone up, from the 70s to now, it used to be 50-60%, and now they're saying 95%. But the rest of the population, which, our children, our kindergartners are a small fraction of the U.S. population, are under-vaccinated. The rest of the population are well under-vaccinated. Yet we don't have disease. So why is there a push?
And here comes another one. Now we've got the Zika thing going out of control. The handling of it out of control. And now they're talking about vaccinations now for Zika. So I totally agree. We need to weigh the risk versus benefit. Any vaccination you take comes along with a risk. And so, weigh that. Is it worth taking that type of a chance for the, like with the flu? I've had the flu before, and, I understand that there's segments of the population that are, the flu can be much more damaging or critical to them. But, I don't think the risk of what's being put in is worth the benefit of what I would get out of it.
And that should be an evaluation for every person.
Right.
I mean, just like when a doctor says, I think you need to get on a statin because your cholesterol is high. The risks are diabetes. The risks are, what I'm saying?
Yes,
and so you weigh that and you say, I'm not, maybe I can deal with my diet as opposed to getting on a statin.
Oh,
because
Jennifer.
Type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes is not a risk that I want to take. That should be across the board.
Yes, you're preaching to the choir. They stamped my file non-compliant. Because they wanted me to take, all of these pills. And I kept seeing the guy come in every day and buy everybody lunch in the office, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I started thinking, am I being prescribed these pills because they're going to help? or because, you know, if there's benefits to them, to me taking them. And I just said, I'm going to treat this with diet and exercise. And they literally stamped my file non-compliant, and I couldn't get any more information and so forth. And I haven't been back since. But you're absolutely right. You know, I just started questioning was this the proper solution. I had high blood pressure, and my triglycerides were way up and so forth. And I was basically told that the diet and exercise wouldn't help at all. And I have completely taken care of it through diet and exercise. Let me run to the phone line again. We got David is up on line two. David, what's on your mind today?
Hey, great morning, and thank you, Pastor Kevin and Jennifer, for providing so much information and devoting the time to this subject.
You're welcome.
I've been a wellness coach for many, many decades now, and one of the things that I like to tell just people in general, the U.S. population is approximately 5% of the world population, and yet we take between 80 and 90% of the world prescription drugs, to the tune of $300 or so billion per year, and we are nothing but guinea pigs for these people. And like you, Kevin, and, you know, no flu shots. No, and I get into this discussion with many, many people, and it is absolutely sad and sinister that people says, "Oh well, my doctor said, yeah, your doctor's getting paid how much money to put your kids on Ritalin." So I say we can go right down a laundry list here. Like I said, I have no doubt that this is all part of the political structure of money, 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 control, control, control. And like I said, we're just nothing but guinea pigs and serfs and peasants. They don't care how many people die or how many people end up with diseases from the side effects.
Yeah, David, I thought about that same thing, you know, and I was like, you know, I don't mean to impugn the motives of good doctors that are out there. Many people are in the medical field because they have very pure motives. They want to help people and so forth. So I agree with that. But I did change the way that I looked at the doctor's office, and I just said, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. This is a business, and I need to look at it as a business as I'm making decisions. So I at least did that. And then the second thing I realized is that a lot of their training that they get and the funding that they get for studies and so forth, it comes from the pharmaceutical industry. And so they're funding this, so they're being kind of trained in that mindset that is, you know, being provided primarily by the pharmaceutical industry. And so the information that they're getting may not be all that pure either. So I try to look at it that way. And then, like you said, some may just be, you know, in it just for the almighty buck there as well, and just to make a dollar. But I try not to impugn all the folks that are in there. I imagine there's a lot of good people.
And I agree with that. Let's be honest. I mean, like, one of the biggest things about this movie and about the CDC whistleblower coming out is that doctors and our legislative folks are relying on this information.
Right.
And it's not correct. You know, it's not biased. I mean, it's unbiased.
Skewed.
It's not unbiased.
Yeah.
And so I think if a pediatrician is really looking at the research and saying, okay, they are recommending this, they've done the studies, they know more than I do, this is their deal, and I'm going to follow the line, you know, that's what we need to do, then of course they're being affirmed by pharmaceutical companies, I could see where this is,
mm-hmm.
You know, why we are here where we are, but now the movie is saying, and then Dr. William Thompson is saying, maybe we need to second guess those scientific studies. Maybe we need to look at those further.
Mm.
And to be ultimately, I mean, the CDC needs to begin looking at vaccinations again. Because of this study, they stopped this, and I'm not saying just because of the study, but they basically in 2004 with their Institute of Medicine symposium in 2004, they said, we're done. We're not looking at vaccines anymore, and that's really tragic.
Wow,
because it's left a lot of people with nowhere to go.
Yes, I
and
agree.
Nothing, you know what to do.
Let me go back to David just for a second, Jennifer, just to because he's still on the line there. David, did you want to make any final comment?
Absolutely, Kevin. This is one of those. We as Christians, we know. Look, God provides everything that we need.
Sure.
And the soil has been depleted. We can get into the minerals, the nutrients. And most of the time when it comes to people's issues, it's usually something simple is lacking, and there are many, many ways to non-invasively
yes.
test your body and say, how are you out of whack? And so for me, like I said, I could sit here for hour after hour and get statistics and let you talk to some of my friends who are experts. But again, as Christians, we need to do our research, because the government these days is not about what it is biblically and how we can help people. It's about control and it's about the money.
Good point. The scripture says a fool judges a matter before he knows the whole of it. And that's all we're saying. How can we make an informed decision if the data is skewed? And now we've got evidence that the data has been skewed before, so we need to look at that data very carefully. David, thanks so much for your comment. Jennifer, I got to get you. We're down to the last minute. Just your last minute thought there and encouragement for people to come see this film. I got to save enough time to be able to give them the information again about the showing of it.
Yeah, so my final thought here is that, you know, as a nation, we are dependent on the CDC to provide unbiased scientific studies. Our legislators depend on them for policy. Our medical professionals depend on them for evidence-based medicine in order to provide the best care to their patients. Parents rely on them in order to make choices for their kids. Through the confessions of Dr. William Thompson, we have found that they cannot be trusted, and that perhaps the continuance of public health policy is more important than the factual science to further our knowledge of why autism is currently at 1 in 68.
I've got to interject just for a second. The music has started. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Let me give them the information, but it's Tuesday, October 11th. Going to be held at the Camelot Theater. The movie is called Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. It's absolutely free, 7 to 9 o'clock over there at the Camelot Theater. And you can just go ahead and put in search for the, I'm trying to get the name here correctly, but the Informed Parents of the Upstate. Search for their website to get more information. Thank you.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.